بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعباد الرحمن الذين يمشون على الأرض هونا وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما والذين يبيتون لربهم سجدا وقياما صدق الله العظيم. We had again just now a janaza, and recently we have had many janazas, especially the last 10 days of Ramadan. Our marhum brother had sat for itikaf in Masjid Hilal, last 10 nights for itikaf. Towards the latter part he wasn't very well, but he continued his itikaf, completed his itikaf. And from the time he came out, since then he was in hospital. Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat. Imagine spending time in ibadat, in itikaf, making tawbah, istighfar, dua. And after that he was in coma and in religious world. May Allah Ta'ala give us mubarak mauts and deaths, in which Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is pleased with us before we pass away. I recited the verses of Surah Furqan, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala talks about Ibadur Rahman, the servants of Rahman. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives us 12 qualities of who are the true servants of Rahman. First of all, the word Ibad, it is the plural of Abd. And Abd in Arabic means a slave, a bondsman, one who is in bondage. So he is under his master. In other words, we are all the slaves or the bondsmen of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. He is our Mawla, He is our Aqa, He is our master. We are all subservient, we submit to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We become tabi' to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We follow Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Whatever is the marzi of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we submit, we surrender to that. Just like a slave submits to the commands of his master, exact like that, we all submit, surrender ourselves to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Shah Rasulullah Rahmatullah Alayhi was Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, this very senior Khalifa. And Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayhi used to always mention mawa'iz from his kitab a lot. He says, before Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentioned the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, Allah Ta'ala first spoke about the kuffar and mushrikeen who rejected Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And they said, قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَانُ. What is Rahman? Who's Rahman? Should we prostrate to Rahman? Should we prostrate to that person or that thing that you are commanding us to? In other words, they negated, they disbelieved, they rejected the existence of Rahman. Whereas, Rasulullah Rahmatullah writes, he says, that the whole wujud and the baqa of this alam, the existence of this entire world and every creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala depends totally on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's rahmat. It is Allah's mercy upon this entire world that this world functions, it exists, and the creation that Allah has created. If it was not for the mercy of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then we would all have been destroyed, nobody would be able to live. But it is Allah's special quality of rahmat that descends on each person, believers and disbelievers, on the entire world, that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes this world continue and function. So these mushrikeen had rejected Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's existence. Therefore Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala talks about the true, the genuine servants and the slaves of Rahman. And ulama also see, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose the word, the sifat rahmaniya? He could have said wa ibadullah, wa ibadul razaq, ibadul mannan, any of the other qualities. Ya Allah is showing us, first of all, His mercy on this ummah and on this world. He is Rahman, He is Rahim. The sifat of rahmat which we recite in Surah Fatiha, that His mercy comes upon every person. In this world, it is only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even the disbeliever enjoys some rosy and nourishment. And akhirat, Allah's special mercy is on the believers. Then they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this connection of His servants to this quality of His Rahman. If we link ourselves to any person, we say he's a hafiz of the Qur'an. So he's got a link, a connection with Qur'an. In other words, the moment you see this person, in the back of your mind, you know that this person has got some link with Qur'an. So in other words, the qualities of Qur'an should be found in this person. If he's known in Ahlullah, the friends of Allah, people of Allah, so immediately when you see such people, you are reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like that, these are the servants of who? Rahman. In other words, the qualities of Rahman, mercy should be found in these people as well. So these qualities that are mentioned, besides these specific qualities that we will discuss inshallah, the servants of Rahman, because of this link, that they are the servants of who? Rahman, means that they also have Raham in their hearts for the people. And when we read these qualities, as Allah Ta'ala will mention in front, we will see the sifat of Rahmat. It is because of this Rahmat that gives them this tawadu, this humility. And they don't express, they don't have pride and arrogance. So, wa ibadur Rahman. Then Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Rahmatullah Ali says that the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we mentioned in the month of Ramadan also, that Allah has divided His mercy into 100 parts. And only 1%, one part of this 100, 1% only He sent down into this world, which all of us enjoy. The mothers show towards, this mercy towards their children. Animals show towards their children. People amongst themselves, the rahmat that we have for one another, brother and sister, our friends, we show mercy to mankind. So this mercy that we enjoy amongst ourselves, and animals enjoy among themselves, is only this 1% of rahmat which Allah has sent down into this world. 99% that remains, He will use, or Allah Ta'ala will hold it back for the day of Qiyamah, where He will send it down on the day of Qiyamah on His believing sons. We can imagine the conditions of Qiyamah, so horrifying, that 99% of Allah's rahmat we will require on the day of Qiyamah. In the dunya we see even a horse, an animal, be so careful of its own child, that no harm must come to my child. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had seen one sahabi had taken some nestlings or some little birds away from its mother, and the mother was fluttering her wings. He said, who has done this? The sahabi said, I have taken it. He said, no, give it back to the mother. The moment he placed these nestlings back, immediately the mother covers her children with her wings, showing her mercy, providing that warmth and comfort. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to sahaba, that Allah has more love and mercy for you and I and His people, His makhluk, than this mother bird has for her children. There is an incident that Maulana gives. He says there was a person, or once Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the qasam of Allah, there was a servant, a very loyal banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
who was making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the mountain peak for 500 years. 500 years, he was on the mountain peak making the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night. He was surrounded by a huge ocean, salty water. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His kindness for this banda of His, provided a small stream from which was sweet water that was coming out at the bottom of this mountain. So in the evening, this person would come down, drink from this water, make wudu, and next to it was a tree, a pomegranate tree. The entire year, it would bear fruit, and this person would eat this one pomegranate, drink this fresh water, make wudu, and go back, and make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 500 years of ibadat he made of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the past, they would live for so long, and they would make such ibadat. So one day, this person then expressed a desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I have one desire, that you must give me mort and death when I am making sajda. And no animal must come and devour me. And I must remain in that condition so that I can be raised on the day of Qiyamah in that condition. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his wish, passed away in the sajda condition. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, Allah gives the seed of Qiyamah, and Allah says, Jibreel Isra'atu Salaam, that tell this person to enter Jannat out of my sheer mercy. So this person says, no, I'm entering Jannat because of my a'mal, my ibadat that I was making. So Allah then tells Jibreel Salatu Salaam or the other angels, go and bring this banda. So he's brought. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him. Allah says, now let us make a muwazana. Let us measure and weigh all the favors and bounties I have bestowed upon you and whatever a'mal you did. It is mentioned that just the ni'mat of his binai, his sight, the faculty of seeing, his eyes, all the ni'mat that Allah gave, blessed him with his eye, was able to see so many things and perform so many functions with his eye. Just that one eyesight that Allah had blessed him with, when it was compared with his 500 years of ibadat, all 500 years of ibadat was finished. Let alone the other, they say, jismani ni'mat and ruhani batini ni'mat Allah Ta'ala had bestowed him. The other limbs of his body, his hands, his ears, his mind, his legs, his liver, his heart, his kidney. Then of course, the spiritual benefit that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed this person, that he was able to make the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, now what are you going to give back? So therefore, it is my justice that demands that you should now go to Jahannam. Allah tells the angels, send him to Jahannam. As he goes there, he begins to scream and cry. Now what's the problem? He says, I have hopes in the rahmat of my Allah that Allah will not send me into Jahannam, he will send me to Jannat. Allah calls him again. And Allah says, oh man, these ni'mats that I, who had given you all these ni'mats, these bounties, is Allah you gave. Allah says, then who was the one who provided for you sweet water every day you drink from? Say, Allah, you provide. That pomegranate tree that bore fruit throughout the year, whereas it was even out of season it would bear fruit. Who provided this? He said, Allah, you provide. He said, the fact that you made a request that you must die in sajda, who gave you this ni'mat? Say, Allah, you like that Allah Ta'ala counted so many ni'mats of His and favors. Then Allah said, because of the fact that you acknowledge now, it is only through my mercy that I am sending you to Jannat, Allah Ta'ala then gives him Jannat. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam then remarked, then qasam in the dhat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only the mercy of Allah ta'ala that Allah sends into this world, that you and I are able to obey Allah ta'ala and enjoy the different bounties, and it will only be through the mercy of Allah that we will gain entry into Jannah. May Allah ta'ala give all of us Jannatul Firdaus. So wa ibadur Rahman, Rahman, Allah ta'ala's rahmat is such that his rahmat supersedes his anger. And it is written the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inna rahmati sabaqat ala ghadabi. And one riwayat, ghalabat ala ghadabi. That my rahmat supersedes my anger. It is dominant over my anger. Allah loves to forgive, Allah loves to make maaf. So these people were ibadur Rahman. The first quality mentioned, alladhina yamshuna ala al-ardi hawna. Those who walk on the earth with humility. They are humble. Mufassireen write, biwaqarin wa sakinatin. They walk with dignity, meaning with humility, not with pride, not with arrogance, not with haughtiness. They do not stamp their feet as they walking. They don't raise the head high above and the nose high. Allah mentions, وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. To not walk on the earth with pride. إِنَّكَ لَن تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضِ. By walking in that manner, you are not going to be able to cleave or break or tear the ground into two pieces. Neither will you be able to reach the skies in height. So walk with humility. Now here again, Shariat is so balanced, moderate. Humility does not mean you put your whole head down and you act as though you're so weak and so sick and you take slow steps. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu sees a person walking this manner, youngster. Sayyidina Umar asks, are you sick? He says, no, I'm not sick. He says, why are you walking this manner? He lifts up his whip to give this person a lash. He says, walk not with pride and arrogance, but walk how Rasulullah ﷺ taught us how to walk. And how would Nabi Kareem ﷺ walk? He would walk with humility. But he wouldn't walk lethargically and take slow steps as though a whole mountain was on his head or he's suffering some fever. A person is sick, it is understood. Shariat tells us to be moderate, to be balanced. They say in the hadith, in Shama'il, Nabi Kareem ﷺ would walk with a slight fast pace, not run. So he wasn't too slow, not too fast, moderate, but slightly fast, with a more faster pace. Then he would walk as though he was coming down a hill. As though he was coming down a slope. And when he would pick up his foot from the ground, he would pick it up firmly. He wouldn't drag his foot on the ground. Dragging the foot on the ground is a sign of a proud and arrogant person. The kings of the past would walk like that. Dragging their feet, taking their time, slow paces with the whole entourage behind them. Therefore, we shouldn't walk as though we are extremely sick and put our head right down. No. Walk upright, but in a brisk manner, but we should not walk with arrogance and pride. Qarun was the cousin of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the hafiz of the Torah. But he was very jealous of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When Allah Ta'ala made Harun alayhi salatu wasalam also a Nabi to assist Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Qarun felt that he was deserving of the position. So because of this jealousy, he then began to rebel against the people. And Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with plentiful. وَآتَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْكُنُوزِ مَا إِنَّ مَفَاتِحَهُ لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَّةِ. The long tafsir, just for us to understand, that the small little keys to his treasures were so many in number that they had to be laden on the camels. A whole herd of camels will carry only the small little keys. You see, a miftah, is generally a small little key that is used to open a vault of treasure. Like this, there were so many small keys. Imagine how many treasures and vaults he had. That a whole herd of camels had to carry just the keys. Allah says, لَتَنُوءُ بِالْعُصْبَةِ أُولِي الْقُوَى, a very strong group of men. If they had to carry these keys, they would be bent down forward. It will burden them. They won't be able to stand up upright. The good people warned him, لا تفرح. Don't walk with pride. Don't walk with arrogance. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَرِحِينَ, Allah does not like arrogant people. And they reminded him that whatever wealth Allah has given you, use that wealth to gain the akhirat. وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. At the same time, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. You have zaruriyat in this world. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to live in a home, you have to wear clothes, you have to provide for your children or your family, you need a car, you need some servants, you need this, you need that. No problem. These are all necessities of dunya, necessities of life. So don't forget that portion of dunya. You work towards it, spend on your needs and your necessities of life, but the major portion of your wealth should not make you heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not make you display arrogance amongst the people. And with that wealth, you should earn your akhirat. That is a real investment a person can make. But he did not listen. فَخَرَجَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ فِي زِينَتِهِ. Allah says he came out with pomp and splendor, pride and arrogance, showing off, boasting. And he said, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي. What are you talking about? Allah has been given me all this. This is through my knowledge, my know-how, my skill, my profession, my acumen, my intelligence. That is how I achieved all these things. Allah says, فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. We sank him into the earth with all his possessions, his house, everything went. In one riwayat it is mentioned, يَتَجَلْجَلْ. He is sinking. Right till the day of Qiyamah, Qarun is sinking. Therefore Allah warns us, all these material possessions we have, or whatever ni'mat is, spiritual ni'mat we have, a deeni ni'mat we have, Allah gives us tawfiq of performing some ibadat, we're able to do some things that others cannot achieve. This should not bring in us any type of arrogance, because the hadith of Rasulullah says, whoever has that amount of pride equal to a mustard seed. How small is a mustard seed? That amount only. Such a person shall not enter paradise. Amongst the punishments of those people who have displayed pride and arrogance and haughtiness and walk with pomp and splendor, and they do not walk with humility, which Allah says, الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَالسَّكِينَ وَالتَّوَاضُ. They don't have this type of quality. They walk with arrogance and pride. Allah says, in Jahannam, they will be put into a pit called Bawlis. And they will be burning in the fire of Jahannam. Then they will be made to eat from Tinatul Khabal. And that is the pus and all the filth that will be emanating from the bodies of the Jahannamis, the blood, the pus. This will be the drink and the food in Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. And the condition will be that they will be the size of tiny little ants. Tiny little ants. No honor, no dignity whatsoever. Therefore, ulama and mashayikh have mentioned that the title of abd and ibad, it is the highest title a human being can get on the surface of this earth. And that is why Allah conferred this title to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went for mi'raj. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi. Allah gave him this title of being an abd. Therefore, ibadur rahman, this is a very great title from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who show and display this humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. So in the earth, Allah says you must have tawadu, humility. Rasulullah says, مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ. Learn this hadith. Learn these words. Say it every day. مَنْ تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ. Whoever has tawadu, humility for the sake of Allah. Our tawadu is not for to show the person how pious we are, we just bow down and... No. Tawadu must be solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You regard yourself as being absolutely nothing. You regard yourself as being inferior to every person. Every person, every other person is superior to myself. Then such a person, رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah will elevate him. When Allah elevates a person, we cannot understand what heights Allah takes him to. And he thinks himself to be lower than others. But the contrary, when a person displays pride and arrogance, and he thinks himself to be very great, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, denigrates this person to such a level, that the people begin to regard him worse than a dog or a pig in their hearts. He becomes deceived by his pride and arrogance. He feels that he is somebody. But in the hearts of people, in the deep recesses of their hearts, they regard him to be worse than a dog or a pig. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. May Allah ta'ala give us tawab, humility. Al-kibru bataru al-haq wa ghamtu al-nas. What is pride? We reject the truth. Somebody tells us, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, this is what Rasulullah says, this is what we should be doing. We say, no, I'm not listening. The person rejects the truth. And وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, he thinks of people to be lower and inferior to himself. The second quality, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant ones speak to him, or speak to such people, and of course, when the ignorant ones speak, then they are rude, they are harsh. They don't treat a person with respect. They speak in a very abrupt tone, ill-mannered. They use unsavory words. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing the tawadu of these people. And remember we said Rahman, Ibadur Rahman, the link. They have mercy. So they ignore these people. They don't respond in a similar manner. Person behaves in an ignorant way to you, then you don't behave in the same manner like how he behaved towards you. Salama, there are various explanations to this. Ulama say that they come out of sin. In other words, they become salim. From tasallum. They become salim, sound. They save themselves from sin, and they save themselves from behaving in a rude manner in which those people behave. Now this is a very great quality. If somebody sways you, and he uses terrible words against you, but you remain silent, or you change the conversation, and you make the person think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you don't give him any taklif. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned that they respond in such a manner that they don't use any harsh words or any rude words that will cause taklif and iza and harm to that person who has harmed him. To do such a thing, a person has to have real kamal in him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that type of equality. You have to have a lot of courage. And there's a lot of suppression of the nafs. Because you feel, I've got that right now to take vent of my anger and retaliate and respond. The man is swearing me. But here we show that we are whose servants? Rahman's servants. And Rahman demands this quality of Rahman. And Rahmat demands from us that we should show our humility and we will not respond in a harsh manner. Other ulama and mufassirin say,
All they say is, Assalamu alaikum. They make salam to the person. They don't want to enter into any conversation with you. We rather just make salam. You go your way, I go my way.
So, إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا.
We mentioned this one, the last one more quality. There are so many 12 qualities. We mentioned two so far. The third one,
وَالَّذِينَ يَبِيتُونَ لِرَبِّهِمْ سُجَّدًا وَقِيَامًا.
Those who spend their night in sajda and in ruku. So Mufassirin mentioned that first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the qualities of during the day, when they're walking and when they are working with people, when they're interacting with people, they display humility. If they're confronted by some ignorant person and somebody who is harsh, they come out of it, they make dafa of that shar, they repel that evil in a very gentle manner, they make salam to the person and they come out. And what is the position at night? That they are engaged in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala give us this quality. We read about the sahaba radiallahu anhum, two or three ayat, tatajafa junubuhum anil madaji, that the sahaba would spend their times at night away from their beds. Their bodies would not be attached to their beds. They'd sleep a little while, but the major portion of the night in tahajjud salat, qiyamul layl. Month of Ramadan was a practice, a practicing ground. We rehearsed, we practiced. Qiyamul layl took place, Taraweeh took place. Now these practices should continue after the month of Ramadan. And as we mentioned, it is the same Allah who is in Ramadan, the same Allah out of Ramadan. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned to the Sahaba that you should perform tahajjud salat. Why? Because it is da'bu salihin. It was this, the custom, the practice, the adat, the habit of all the pious people. Every pious servant who came into the surface of this world, each person engaged in tahajjud salat. So resembling the salihin. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it takes you closer to your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Makes you muqarrab to Allah. What? Tahajjud salat. And therefore one hadith says, that after the fard salat, the best salat in the eyes of Allah is tahajjud salat. From all the nafil, the greatest and the most virtuous and the most blessed salat is tahajjud salat. So on the day of qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look at the person's fard, his salat, the first ibadat Allah ta'ala will check on the day of qiyamah. First question will be regarding salat. So the person's, all his fard salat will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there'll be many deficiencies there. Perhaps his niyat wasn't right, or his ruku wasn't right, and sajda, or qiyam, or qirat. Many deficiencies. So Allah will tell the angel, هل لي عبدي? Has my servant got any nawafil, any nafil? Check, check. The angel will find all his nawafil salat. And through all these nafil, whatever deficiencies were found in the fard, all these deficiencies will now be filled and it will be complete. And his fard will then be perfected and of course he'll be rewarded. So tahajjud salat is the adat of the pious, then it makes a person come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third thing it is, mukaffiratun li dhunub. It wipes out, it obliterates all our dhunub, our sins. And the fourth thing it becomes an obstacle for a person, or it helps a person. It helps a person from committing sins. Person who performs tahajjud salat, Allah gives him some batini quwwat, some inside quwwat. They say the oil, the spiritual oil or petrol of all the awliya, the ahlullah, is at the night when they wake up and they perform tahajjud salat and the adhkar. That is the petrol for the entire day. And one of the tabi'een had mentioned that you will see a person who performs tahajjud salat, Allah puts some nur on his face during the day. And one riwayat also mentions that on the day of qiyamah, all those who have performed tahajjud salat, Allah ta'ala will bless them with nur on the day of qiyamah. And that nur will help them to cross pul sirat. Tahajjud Salat is not difficult. Ulama have mentioned that any nafil that a person makes after Isha Salat is regarded as tahajjud. So whether you make 2 rakat, 4 rakat, 6 rakat, any nafil after Isha Salat. Allama Shami Rahmatullah mentioned, after the fard of Isha, any nafil a person makes, so we read 2 sunnat, and 2 nafil most of us don't read. We read 3 witr. But if you read the 2 nafil before the 3 witr, or even after the 3 witr, then you're already getting the sawab of the Hajjud Salat. But the ideal, the A grade, what the Sahaba would generally do is, go to bed and then wake up. Now Allah Ta'ala sees the genuine muhabbat the person has for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah sees the genuine ibadur rahman. Now for the sake of my true beloved, how I'm going to make that effort and wake up. Shaitan ties 3 knots on a person when he goes to sleep on the back of his neck. And Shaitan says, alayka bilaylin tawil, have a long sleep tonight. Don't wake up. Sleep the entire night. 3 knots are tied. In the night when a person opens his eyes, فَذَكَرَ اللَّهُ, and he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 1 knot is untied. If he wakes up and he makes wudu, the 2nd knot is untied. And if he reads tahajjud salat with that wudu, the 3rd knot is untied. Hadith then says that during the day, he's tayyibun nafs. He feels so good. He feels nice. He feels comfortable. He feels happy. He experiences some ecstasy, some joy in his heart. Wa illa, otherwise, person who misses his tahajjud salat, not his fajr salat, his tahajjud salat. Ulama have mentioned this hadith and other ahadith about shaitan urinating in the ear of the person. In Riyadus Salihin, Allama Nawawi Rahmatullahi has got this hadith about shaitan urinating in the ear of the person who misses tahajjud salat. Generally we say fajr salat. But if you go to Allama Nawawi's works, Riyadus Salihin, you see under the title of Qiyamul Layl, many ulama have said, although there may be difference of opinion, but many have said that when a person misses Qiyamul Layl tahajjud salat, then shaitan urinates in his ear. So if a person doesn't read his tahajjud salat, it is mentioned the entire day he is khabithun nafs. He feels miserable. He feels very lethargic. Person will yawn. I don't know why I'm so tired. I slept the whole night. I don't know why my body is paining. But if a person who reads tahajjud salat, he feels fresh. He's able to do a whole day's work. There are certain things that ulama and mashayikh have mentioned. If a person does these things, inshallah, he will wake up for tahajjud salat. One of the things is stray away from guna. So somebody asked Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. Oh Hassan, you are such a great shaykh. Now you tell me. I've abstained from guna. I'm making so much of dua. And I make dua every night. I make my wudu. I want to wake up for tahajjud salat. Still I can't wake up. I made several attempts. Still I'm failing. Hassan Basri rahmatullah said, think properly. Some guna. He says, yes, yes. There was a certain person who performs salat sometimes, nafil salat. I say to myself, huwa mura'in. He's just reading to show people. Hassan Basri Rahman said, because you thought low of that person, you thought evil of that person, that he is reading namaz for show, because of that sin, Allah has deprived you of performing tahajjud salat. That is why, Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullahi mentioned in his kitab that 2 people, one buzrug and his son had woken up one night in the masjid, perhaps i'tikaf or whatever it was. They woke up for tahajjud salat, they made wudu, read tahajjud salat. So the little son said, Abba, this, all the other people fast asleep, they missed their tahajjud salat. So bad they are. Something to that effect. So his father replied, he said, oh my son, it would have been better if you were also asleep. That now you woke up and you made ghibat, you thought low of these people. So one is to stay away from all types of guna and especially not to think low of any person. The 2nd one is to have what you call qairula. Now it might be difficult. Qairula is a small nap, we say siesta.
10-15 minutes, not to sleep 2 hours after the noon. Otherwise all the people go to the shop, the boss will come to me and say, the Maulana said, I must have siesta, otherwise I'll miss my tahajjud salat. If a person has the time, then he can use, Allah makes it such that a person gains the strength to perform tahajjud salat. Then of course the other du'as and things to read. And we have to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us with tahajjud salat. Think of what sahaba ikram did. This should be our real routine of our life. Our routine is something else. Our whole day is at the work and the job and everything else, all other activities, pleasure and leisure. Ibadat is secondary. And look at ibadat also, we must prioritize and see what was the ibadat, first of all, our fara'id. In nafil, what sahaba did? What was his salient qualities? At the time of tahajjud, this was a salient feature of sahaba. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. Once we program ourselves, Allah give all of us tawfiq, I don't have this in my life. May Allah Ta'ala bless us. Once we bring our program into the life of sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we will enjoy our ibadat and Allah will make our dunya also easy for us. Then we will enjoy our life and then we will get what is called hayat al-tayyibah, a blissful, happy life in this world. Then we will understand what the mashayikh say. That وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانَ. For the person who fears Allah, he gets two jannat. Jannatun fi dunya wa jannatun fi al-uqba. One jannat is of akhirat and one jannat in this world. Now what is the jannat in the world they talk about? The ma'iyat of Allah. The love they have of Allah. The Allah consciousness, Allah's presence. They feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم إنا نستغفرك ونتوب إليك فاغفر لنا وتب علينا فاغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا ولا إلى أحد من خلقك طرفة عين ربي اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين Oh my most beloved Allah, my most kareem Allah, my most raheem Allah. Oh may Allah, your rahmat is so vast and so wide. Oh may Allah bless us with your rahmat in dunya and akhirati Allah. Oh may Allah give us the true qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Give us that humility Allah. Protect us from pride, arrogance, haughtiness ya Allah. Do not make us become like Qarun and Fir'aun, ya Allah. Allah, give us the humility of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba ikiram, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'een. Oh, may Allah bless us with all the qualities, ya Allah, humility. Ya Allah, and how we should deal and treat those people who treat us with harshness, ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us with qiyamul layl and tahajjud salat, ya Allah. Make it be part and parcel of our life, ya Allah. You give us the strength, ya Allah. You wake us up, ya Allah. Oh my Allah, you bless us with all these beautiful qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Ya Allah, give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, give us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection. Give us your ma'rifat, your qurb, yaqeen, ya Allah. Ya Allah, how your pious bandas, ya Allah. Your salafi saliheen, ya Allah. Ya anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. Our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba ikiram. How they enjoyed the ibadat with you, ya Allah. And ya Allah, and the ma'iyat and the qurb, ya Allah. Ya Allah, they had that happiness, ya Allah, and that hayat tayyibah. Bless us also, ya Allah. Oh, may Allah, we're not deserving for all your boons and favors, ya Allah. Ya Allah, hum bohat kamzor hai, hum zaif, ya Allah. You are qawi, you are not ajiz, ya Allah. You are ghani. We are faqir, ya Allah. We are dependent, my Allah. You are independent, ya Allah. You don't require any one of us, ya Allah. Oh, may Allah, we require you all the time, ya Allah. Allahumma ahdina wahdi bina, waja'alna sababan liman ihtada. Oh Allah, take us, make us reach you through the path of shukr, ya Allah. Do not test us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we will fail miserably, my Allah. Oh, may Allah, make us be amongst those special people, ya Allah. Your muqarrab, ya Allah. The special list, ya Allah, which has got the list of your special friends, ya Allah. Your special awliya, ya Allah. Ya Allah, even though you include our name right in the bottom of the list, my Allah. For us, it will be such an honor, such dignity, ya Allah. Ya Allah, it will be a means of our izzat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, and our savior and najat in the dunya and akhirat, ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with halal rozi, Ya Allah, plentiful, Ya Allah. Help us to use this halal in the right avenues, Ya Allah. Protect us from taking haram, Ya Allah. Protect our women folk, our youth, our young and our old, and every person, Ya Allah. Help us to shun sin, Ya Allah. Do not make us become slaves of shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are your slaves, Ya Allah. Do not make us become slaves of our nafs and passions and desires and egos, Ya Allah. Allah, nafs and shaitan have ganged up against us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we become subdued by them, Ya Allah. It is only Ya Allah, as you have mentioned, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. What Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, that it does nafs prompts him to do evil, but it is only your rahmat that Ya Allah saves the person. Oh Allah, we are asking you from their rahmat, Ya Allah, to save us, Ya Allah, when we are enticed by gunas, Ya Allah. Help us to now to lead a clean and chaste and pure life, Ya Allah. Remove all our miseries and worries and problems, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, people have got different problems, Ya Allah. Somebody's kidney is failing, Ya Allah. Somebody's got a heart problem. Somebody's got a cancer problem. Ya Allah, young masoom children are suffering, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, there are people, Ya Allah, who have got problems, they are in prisons, my Allah. So many other problems, social problems, domestic problems, financial problems, my Allah. Remove every person's problem. Give us that sukoon, jain, Ya Allah. Give us that happiness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all the marhumeen, grant them jannatul firdaus, Ya Allah. Give them the ala illiyin, Ya Allah. Give them jannatul firdaus. Give us shahadat in your path, Ya Allah. Give us baril in jannatul baqim, Ya Allah. A mouth in Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. In the condition that you are most pleased and happy with us, Ya Allah. Give us tawfiq of doing good a'mal. Protect us from all evil. Help us to display a good akhlaq, Ya Allah. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد المبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.